Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. The Lord's arms are the productive fields for the great demigods and other leaders of the living entities who protect the general mass. Purport. The important verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is corroborated and nicely explained in the Bhagavad Gita 10:41-42 as follows. Yad yad vibhuti matsatvam Srimad urjitam evava tat tat eva vagacham tvam mama tejom shasambhavam athava bahunaitena kimnyatena tavarjuna vishtabhyam aham idam kritsnam ekam shena stito jagat. There are many powerful kings, leaders, learned scholars, scientists, artists, engineers, inventors, excavators, archaeologists, industrialists, politicians, economists, business magnates, and many more powerful deities or demigods like Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Chandra, Surya, Varuna, and Marut, who are all protecting the interest of the universal affairs of maintenance in different positions, and all of them are different, powerful parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, is the father of all living entities who are placed in different high and low positions according to their desires or aspirations. Some of them, as particularly mentioned above, are specifically endowed with powers by the will of the Lord. A sane person must know for certain that a living being, however powerful he may be, is neither absolute nor independent. All living beings must accept the origin of their specific power as mentioned in this verse. And if they act accordingly, then simply by discharging their respective occupational duties, they can achieve the highest perfection of life, namely eternal life, complete knowledge, and inexhaustible blessings. As long as the powerful men of the world do not accept the origin of their respective powers, namely the personality of Godhead, the actions of Maya, illusion, will continue to act. The actions of Maya are such that a powerful person, misled by the illusory material energy, wrongly accepts himself as all in all and does not develop God consciousness. As such, the false sense of egoism, namely myself and mine, has become overly prominent in the world, and there is a hard struggle for existence in human society. The intelligent class of men, therefore, must admit the Lord as the ultimate source of all energies, and thus pay tribute to the Lord for His good blessings. Simply by accepting the Lord as the supreme proprietor of everything, since He is actually so, and one can achieve the highest perfection of life. Whatever person may be in the estimation of the social order of things, if a person tries to reciprocate a feeling of love towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is satisfied with the blessings of the Lord, he will at once feel the highest peace of mind for which he is hankering life after life. Peace of mind, or in other words, the healthy state of mind, can be achieved only when the mind is situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The parts and parcels of the Lord are endowed with specific powers for rendering service unto the Lord, just as a big business magnate's sons are empowered with specific powers of administration. The obedient son of the father never goes against the will of the father and therefore passes life very peacefully in concurrence with the head of the family, the father. Similarly, the Lord being the father, all living beings should fully and satisfactorily discharge the duty and will of the father as faithful sons. This very mentality will at once bring peace and prosperity to human society. ओम ज्ञातिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नमः ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। दिस इज अ वेरी नाइस पर्पोट, वंडरफुल पर्पोट, मेनी पॉइंट्स दैट श्री प्रभुपाद एम्फसाइजेस राइट एट द बिगिनिंग ऑफ द पर्पोट। ही सेज द पावर्स दैट वी ऑल हैव आर एक्चुअली द पावर्स ऑफ द लॉर्ड। These are borrowed powers. We all feel powerful, right? We are in control. Powerful means what? We feel in control. The temple president feels in control of the temple. The GBC feels in control of the region. The speaker feels in control of the talk that he's going to give. The kirtaniyas feels in control of the tune they want to sing. Actually, we are all feeling powerful, but we are all on borrowed power. Power that has been borrowed from the Lord. So that's one point he makes. And then Prabhupada quickly suggests that if we submit to the will of the Lord, then we can be peaceful and happy. So that is what he speaks essentially. Now, when I was looking at this verse early this morning, actually, this verse is very appropriate for today's day, which is known as Nirjala Ekadashi or Bhima Ekadashi. And I'll tell you why. I'll try and connect the verse to that. So, Bahavo Lokapalanam. First of all, when you study Srimad Bhagavatam, the best way to study, well, there are many ways to study. One of the ways to study is to understand the Prakaranam, Adhyaya, and then the Shloka. Prakaranam means the context. What is the context of this particular topic? And then the chapter. What is the context of the chapter? And then the verse. So this particular canto, second canto of Bhagavatam, the first canto of Bhagavatam speaks about Adhikaris, or who is eligible to study Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the topic of the first canto broadly. So you have three categories that have been mentioned. Okay, we are on the second canto, so we'll skip that. Second canto talks about the sadhana, or the means of attaining perfection. So chapter one starts with the impersonal Brahman as the means of attaining perfection. Chapter two says, well, actually Paramatma feature is a superior meditation. Chapter 3 says the Bhagavan feature of the Lord is, or the personal feature of the Lord, which can be served by devotional service, is the main sort of primary understanding of devotion. So that's the first three chapters. Then, if you talk about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you then talk about the creation. So chapter 4 talks about the process of creation. Chapter 5 talks about who is actually the cause of this beautiful cosmic creation, cause of all causes. And chapter 6, well, this might be just your opinion that the Lord is the cause of all causes. Are there any pramanas? Are there any proofs? So chapter 6 discusses the Purusha Sukta. So that's where we have this verse in chapter 6 discussing the Purusha Sukta. Purusha Sukta is from the Rig Veda, the 10th mandala, chapter 90. So that's the Purusha Sukta. Actually, it's not just Rig Veda, also in Sama Veda, same has been repeated. In Shukla Yajurveda, the same Purusha Sukta has been repeated. But in Rig Veda, it is 24 verses. It's beautiful. So this chapter is a commentary on the Rig Veda. And Purusha Sukta, once 6th chapter deals with this Purusha Sukta. 7th chapter says, well, Purusha Sukta identifies the Lord as Vishwarupa. Who is Vishwarupa?
Universal.
The universal form. What is the quality of universal form?
Temporary.
Huh?
Temporary.
Temporary, yes. Huh? Imaginary, yes. It is temporary, it's imaginary. And the universal form has thousands of hands, thousands of feet, thousands of eyes. And each one of those are representing certain parts of the universe, either the planets or the different beings. So just like if you are working with the, say you're working with the MI5. The MI5 is also known as the arm of the UK government. Does the government have arms? But it's called as an arm of the UK government, the MI5, which is a secret services. So what is arm over there? It's allegorical. It's not. Similarly, the universal form and everything that has been ascribed to the universal form is for the purpose of connecting everything to the Supreme Being. So that is Purusha Sukta, 6th chapter. So then the question is that the ultimate reality? Is that impersonal reality the ultimate reality? So the next chapter, chapter 7, says, no, there are many, many incarnations of the Lord. So all the incarnations have been mentioned, chapter 7. And chapter 8 then talks about the question that Parikshit Maharaj asks. You spoke about Srimad Bhagavatam previously in first canto. He talked about, at the end of the first canto, he talked about Srimad Bhagavatam being the essence of all essence. So Parikshit Maharaj says, please talk to me about that Srimad Bhagavatam. In the 9th chapter of this second canto, Parikshit Maharaj, because he's very curious and he's rightfully situated, Shukdev Goswami starts talking about Srimad Bhagavatam, but he begins with how Bhagavatam was received by Brahma and how he received Bhagavatam from Brahma. And then the last chapter, the 10th chapter of the second canto, talks about the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10 topics that Srimad Bhagavatam covers. So this is the flow. So we are right now dealing with Purusha Sukta explained in Bhagavatam. And this particular verse is very beautiful because it is appropriate for today's day. It says, Bahavo lokapalanam bahavaha. So in the Sanskrit grammar, bahu means, in Hindi and so many other languages, bahu means your arms. But bahavaha is plural, many, many arms, innumerable arms, plural. A person has two arms, a human being. But here it says innumerable arms. And then it says these arms are represented by lokapal. So who are the lokapalas? Today is, we are all fasting, so we'll have low energy. So I'm going to try and make it a little bit interactive, ask you questions. So who are the lokapalas?
Demigods.
Any specific demigods or anyone is a Lokpal? So, can anyone be a Lokpal? Is Varuna, for example, is a demigod of the oceans and the water. Is he a Lokpal? Yes? No? Huh? Yes, okay. Okay. So, who are the Lokpalas? Huh? Controlling deities, yes. Yes, the Lokpalas are also Dikpalas. So actually we are on the Bhrumandala plane, we are on a small planet in Bharatvarsha called Earth. This is different. Fifth canto cosmology is different from the modern universal understanding. So the Bhrumandala plane is a subtle plane, yeah? It's a plane. Right in the center of the Bhrumandala plane is a upside down, or you can say, you know, like you have this ice cream cone, that shaped mountain, and it's made of gold, and it's called Sumeru. On the top of that mountain is the holiday recreational place for the Dikpalas. When they want to go on holiday, they go there. One of the places occupied by Yamaraj also. So who are the Dikpalas? If you now go on top of Mount Meru, you will see right in the center is the big boy, big man, Lord Brahma. He has his palace on that holiday location on top of Meru. Brahma is in the middle. And on the east, you have, anyone knows the different directions of the Lokpalas are? Actually, the whole Vastu Shastra and all this is based on this. So actually, we start with northeast. Northeast is Ishana. Ishana is an expansion of Lord Shiva. So when Lord Shiva wants to take some break, he goes there for holiday. It's their holiday resort. And then you come to east. East is Indra. So of course there is Amravati. Indra's city is known as Amravati, but he wants to go on holiday, he goes there as Lokpala. So in the east is Indra. And then you move further like this, southeast. Southeast is Agni. And then you go south. South is Yama. So you know, even in the, from a Vastu point of view, they say southeast is Agni Sthana, so you should have the kitchen in the southeast. So like that that's how the Vastu Purush also works. Anyway, that's not what we're discussing. So south is Yama. Then you have southwest is Niruti. Niruti is considered to be a dark lord. When I told this to my daughter, she said, there is some dark lord in some movie. She remembered that guy. She said, yeah, so that Niruti, he is the one, he is the demigod who ascribes sins. There's a demigod for everything. Even for blinking, there is a demigod who helps you blink. If he's too pleased, you'll start blinking too much. If he's partially pleased, you're only blinking with one eye. That is very, people can get confused. What do you mean? So there is a demigod for everything. So for ascribing sins to you, yes, this is a sin. Niruti does that job. So he's in southwest, which is considered to be the worst of all directions. And then you move west. West is Varuna, like Prabhuji mentioned. And then you go further. You go northwest. Northwest is Vayu. So remember this, Vayu. Remember him. And then you go north. That is Kubera. You see, Kubera hides all his wealth in the north, in the Himalayas and north. So north is Kubera. And then we come back to northeast, which is Ishana. So these are the eight cardinal directions. And the eight Dikpalas, who are Lokpalas, they are the Bahavaha, they are the arms. So they act on behalf of, they get their powers from the Supreme Lord. Bahavaha, Lokpalana, Prayasha, Kshema Karmanam. Generally speaking, Prayashaha means generally speaking, Kshema Karmanam. They are making sure everything goes on in order. Why generally speaking? Because sometimes they also go on holiday. Actually, Yamraj goes on holiday. Yamraj is in south. His holiday home is there. He goes on holiday. When he goes on holiday, everyone in the Pitriloka, they get relief. So all those who are punished, they get relief. And they are able to take some rest. All the Yamadutas also go and take holiday. Because master is not there, the servants also enjoy, right? When the cat is not around, the mice will run around, right? So these all, and Prabhupada also mentioned here, Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Chandra, Surya, Varuna, Marut, all of them, they get their powers from the Supreme Lord. Now, what is the purpose of the entire Purusha Sukta discussion? The purpose is this, and this is the only slightly important philosophical discussion I want to do today, and then I'll tell you some pastimes. But this is very important. Why? Why this section? What is the importance to us as Gaudiya Vaishnavas about this section? The importance to us Gaudiya Vaishnavas is that we consider the Supreme Lord to be both the material cause and the effective cause of the creation. So these words may be a little bit confusing. So I'll give you an example. If you make a pot, who made the pot? So you might say, potter, very good. And can the potter just make, I'm a potter, can I just make a pot? From air, can I make a pot? You need the clay, right? So did clay make the pot or did the potter make the pot? What do you think? The potter made the pot. So the potter is important, the clay is not important. Both are important, yeah? So the material cause and the effective cause, both are important. The potter and the pot, the clay, both are important for the clay to, for the pot to be made, for the clay to be transformed into pot. This is what we as Gaudiya Vaishnavas accept. In simple words, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we firmly accept that the Lord is real and His creation is also real. The clay is real and the pot that is made from clay is also real. This is called as Parinamavad. You should remember this. Parinamavad. This is the basis of Vaishnava philosophy. Parinam means transformation. But then there's a problem in that statement. If you turn clay into a pot, if the Lord is like the clay and the world is like a pot, it's made from clay, then what happens? What is the difficulty there? If you take a lump of clay, make it into a pot, does the clay exist? Well, it exists, but it doesn't exist, you know, at the same time, isn't it? Because it's now into a... So the argument of the opposition party is, your argument, your philosophy, Vaishnavas, is very foolish because you are saying the Lord is the cause of both the material world and He Himself is both effective and material cause, means He also provides the material and He also becomes. The problem is, if the clay is made into a pot, the clay ceases to exist. So your philosophy is not right. That's the argument. So what is their proposition? Their proposition is this. The cause is real, God is real, but the creation is imaginary. The world is imaginary. It's illusion. God is real, the world is illusion. So then the Vaishnavas ask, how do you say that? We gave you the example of clay and pot. What is your example? So they say, this imagination is known as vivarta in Sanskrit. So vivartavad is the philosophy of the Mayavadis, of Adi Shankaracharya, vivartavad. So they say the world is illusion. Only Brahman is real. Brahma satya, jagan mithya. This is the dictum that Shankaracharya gave. What is their explanation? They said, just like you dream. You are a person who goes to sleep and you dream. You dreamt. Dream was an illusion. In the dream, you might have seen a tiger chasing you. It's just an illusion. Or just like when you look at a rope and you think it's a snake because it's dark, you think it's a snake. That's an illusion. Similarly, the rope, it's a rope, it's not a snake, but you think it's a snake. It's an illusion. This is their argument. So the Vaishnavas say, well, here is our response. Number one, you said the clay gets converted into a pot, so clay ceases to exist. I give you a lump of clay, tell you make a pot out of it. You made a pot out of it, clay ceases to exist. So the Vaishnavas say, no, this was just your way of understanding. Let us go to the Shastra. Let's look at the Upanishads. The Upanishads say the Lord is like a human, compared to a human, and the creation is compared to the nails. So the nails, so I'm a human being, I'm conscious, are my nails conscious? Do I make any effort to grow them? But they grow nonetheless, isn't it? And they are, although coming from me, they are jada, which means they have no consciousness. The nail itself, I cut them off, there is no consciousness. Yet I am creating it. Similarly, the Lord creates this universe, supplies the material to create this universe, and yet the Lord does not transform. Because my nails are growing, it doesn't mean I'm becoming a lesser human. The more nails grow, the lesser human I become. No. Another example the Vaishnavas give from the scriptures, when Prabhupada Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to use these two examples. Chandogya Upanishad says, the Lord is like a spider and the world is like a web. The spider, from his own spit, he spits out the web, he creates the web, and when he's too bored with one location, he wants to move somewhere, he swallows the same web and he goes to another location. Similarly, the Lord is the cause of the creation and also takes everything in him at the end of this universal dissolution, and he moves on. Another day, another creation. So the Lord is like a spider and the world is like a web. And sir, your explanation of a man dreaming, it's ridiculous. Why ridiculous? Because you think the dream was illusionary. If it was illusionary, then why is it that after dreaming that a tiger was running behind you, in the morning when you woke up, your bed was wet? Out of fear, your bed was wet. This actually Madhvacharya argues like this with the Mayavadis. He says, why do you wet your bed after a fearsome dream? Because the dream was real. You actually felt the vikara in your body, transformation in your body, and you know, you couldn't control your urine and you wet your bed because of fear. Madhvacharya gives this argument. So the dream is real. The proof is you wet your bed. Okay, the other example you gave about the rope looking like a snake. My dear sir, the snake is real. And the rope is real. And that is why you foolishly thought the rope was a snake. Had the snake been an illusionary thing, you would not think of the rope as a snake. You could not conceive it as a snake if there was nothing called as a snake. So snake is real, rope is real, and hence you are thinking it is, you know, you're mistaking it to be snake. So these are the two points, very important for us Vaishnavas. So what is the connection here with this verse? Connection is this. Here in Purusha Sukta, in this section, especially this verse and future verses, the point that is being made is this, that every single personality, every single thing in the universe is a direct manifestation of the Lord and His powers. The Mayavadis would say, the Devatas are all illusionary. Bhagavatam says, no. Bahavaha lokapalanam prayashah shema karmanam. They are not illusionary. The Devatas, etc., are not illusionary. They are actual extension of the power of the Lord. So this entire section supports, the entire section of Bhagavatam, chapter 6, is in support of Parinamavad. For those who, how many of you understood what I just spoke in the last 10 minutes? Raise your hand. Okay. What about the rest? How many of you did not understand? I'm sure the ones who didn't raise their hands did not understand. Okay. So those who did not understand can ask those who understood. And they will explain it to you. But this is so important. We consider the Lord to be both the material and the effective cause. And this is the proof that all the beings in this universe and everything that exists is directly an extension of the Lord. Is not illusionary. Okay. Now, having got that most difficult part of my session out of the way. Question. So, we are saying Lokpalas are many. Who is the most powerful amongst the demigods? Who is the most powerful?
Lord Shiva.
Lord Shiva. Okay. Now, demigods meaning I'm referring to the Lokpalas, yeah? So amongst these, who is the most powerful? So Ishana is also there. Lord Shiva is there in the northeast direction. You have Lord Shiva. Indra is the most powerful. Yamaraj is the most powerful. Brahma is the most powerful, yes. Not powerful in terms of strength, but powerful in terms of the very being, the most important of the Lokpalas, of the demigods. Vayu. So in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, there is a beautiful pastime. There is a mention of all the demigods. There are various demigods that control the body, right? So all the demigods, they once come together and they say, well, who is the most important amongst us? So everyone says, well, we all have some degree of importance. So let's see. So they go to a living entity, a living being, a human being. And then each of the demigod stops functioning one by one. So the sun is the right eye, the moon is the left eye. So the sun stops functioning and the person becomes blind. But he's still living. The moon helps with the mind. The moon stops blessing that person, but the person still lives. And everyone does that. Agni. Agni is that which helps digestion and, you know, regulates the temperature of the body. The body, Agni leaves the body of that person. The person still lives. And all the demigods, they are still. And when Agni leaves that person's body, Agni also leaves the body of those demigods. Just to make them feel how it feels without Agni. So then Indra says, oh, I am in charge of the arms and the feet. Mainly the arms. So I will leave and the person can't move. So Indra leaves and the person becomes paralyzed. But he still lives. And finally Vayu. He says, okay, now it's my turn. Let me leave the body. Prana. Pran leaves and all the demigods feel, oh, you don't go. If you go, finished. So Prana is the most important. Who is the most important demigod? Most important is Vayu. And so if you read the Upanishads, Prashna Upanishad, where Uddalaka is asking question, who is the most important amongst all demigods? The answer is given, Prana it is. And Prana is directly coming from the Supreme Lord. He is the best of the Lord's servant. Prana or Vayu. So Vayu is the most important demigod, according to the Upanishads. And this Vayu, in not only Prashna Upanishad, but also Chandogya Upanishad, it is mentioned Vayu is the most important of demigods and he is the most powerful because without him, everything ceases to exist. So, what is prana? What does prana mean? We have one prana, Bandhu Prabhu. But what does prana literally mean? Life airs. So how many life heirs do we have? Five? Okay. So nine? Okay. The main five heirs, pranas are five. Pancha pranaha, it is mentioned in the Shastra, Bhagavatam also. Pancha pranaha, five pranas. What are they? Anyone knows? Prana. Prana means the air that your lungs and your diaphragm, when you breathe in, your diaphragm becomes big. That is prana. That regulates the heartbeat. That is prana. So the last thing that leaves your body when you die is prana. Pra plus ana. Ana means air. Ana means life. Prana means that which gives life. Actually, in Latin, there is a word, animos, ani, that comes from Sanskrit ana, which means to give life. From which you have many words like animal, animosity, animation. All of these words are from ana, same root in Sanskrit. So prana is one, next is apana. Apana means the air that goes out, down, below. So you know when you evacuate, when you... I was with Brahmavadi. A Brahmavadi means he thinks Brahman is everything. The goal of life is to merge into Brahman. And I was with him discussing. And he said, moksha means to merge into Brahman. And we were having some nice discussion in Varanasi, 2010. And then, while we were having that discussion, he was very uneasy. So I said, you don't look very... So he said, no, somehow, you know, I'm constipated. So, very uneasy. So I was arguing that you can give any definition to liberation, it doesn't matter. You have to understand what is given in the Shastra. So he said, no. My definition is, he could not argue. So he was saying, but my definition is that liberation means to merge into the Supreme. So there is one Ayurvedic medicine called Malashuddhi. Malashuddhi, it's a powder. You take that powder and then you can be in the toilet for 2-3 hours. So very potent, Malashuddhi. Yeah. So I got from local market, I got that powder. I said, please take this. And he took it and immediately he went. And he came back and I said, how was your moksha? So he said, what do you mean? I said, for me, the definition of moksha is when a constipated person evacuates. He feels moksha. Because he was arguing in such a stupid way. I said, for me that is moksha. So you just realized moksha. When you have to give the same medicine to the person to help them understand. So evacuation also, air comes out, right? When you evacuate, there's a push. That is apana vayu. So prana vayu, apana vayu. Next is vyana vayu. The air or the prana or the... We have a doctor here, GP. So he'll tell us that oxygen has to reach every part of your body. If it doesn't reach the brain and the brain cells die, you get paralyzed. Is that right? Or you could potentially get into a coma and complications. So the air that actually supplies oxygen to every cell is vyana. So prana, apana, vyana. Then, udana, yes, udana. Udana means the air that pushes out from up. So udana air is what helps us speak. When I'm speaking, there is air coming out. And finally, samana. Samana vayu is the most important. It is the vayu that regulates, it's around the navel, that regulates digestion. Five pranas. Now, we had an acharya, very important acharya. His name was Madhvacharya. We all know Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya, who was Madhvacharya? He was incarnation of Vayu. Actually, there is one very nice pastime. He used to worship Udupi Krishna. And while worshipping Udupi Krishna, after nobody could enter Udupi Krishna when he was worshipping, and when the Naivedya was offered, when the Bhoga was offered, after the offering he would ring the bell. And after ringing the bell, his Madhvacharya's main personal secretary, his name was Trivikrama Panditacharya. He could enter inside. So one day Madhvacharya was inside and he did not ring the bell. And that day was today's day on Nirjala Ekadashi. He did not ring the bell. So Trivikrama Panditacharya thought, well, why is he not ringing the bell? Is everything okay with Acharya? So to check, he entered inside. And when he entered inside, he saw three personalities. He saw a huge monkey, Hanuman, worshipping Ramachandra. He saw a huge person with a big mace, Gada, Bhima, worshipping Lord Krishna, Udupi Krishna. And he saw Vayu in the form of Madhvacharya worshipping all of them. And as soon as he entered and saw them and being stunned, all these personalities, Vayu, Bhima, Hanuman, they all entered into the personality of Madhvacharya. So Madhvacharya was non-different from these three. Who is the son of Vayu? Hanuman. Also, from Kunti, the son of Vayu is Bhima. Who is the most powerful deity of amongst Lokpalas? Vayu. So, Bahavaha Lokpalanam. It can also mean, I am the most powerful amongst the Lokpalas. Who is that? Krishna, who is the controller of Vayu. So, Madhvacharya. And then what happens? Trivikram Panditacharya, as soon as he sees Madhvacharya, he falls at his feet and he starts singing the Vayu Stuti. Beautiful Stuti. 49 verses. Vayu Stuti was composed in glorification of Madhvacharya. And then he revealed, when he revealed Madhvacharya's identity, Madhvacharya was not shy. He is Hanuman. He is Bhim. He is not shy. So then every single work that Madhvacharya composed. For example, he composed one work which is beautiful. It's known as Vishnu Tattva Vinirnaya. One of the books he composed. Vishnu Tattva Vinirnaya is a book in which he says, alright, let us bring the Buddhists. He takes the Buddhists, 5 arguments he gives against Buddhists. He says, okay, they have no further argument. Let's take the Jains. Okay, no further argument. Let's take Pashupatas. These arguments, okay, no further argument. Let's take the Karmis. Let's take the atheist. And then he devotes about 120 arguments for the Mayavadis. He says, okay, so I have completely crushed the Mayavadis. I have proved that every single Mayavadi will go to hell. And I have also wasted my time by writing so many points in argument. I don't think the reader are interested to waste their time any further. So I'll stop the argument here. Can you imagine? You defeat someone and then you say, actually, it's been a waste of time. There are so many arguments, it's just a waste of time. I'll stop here because I don't have much time. You just completely, and then at the end he says, this book is composed by the self-same personality who is glorified in the Upanishads as Mukhya Prana, who is the same personality as Hanuman, who is the same personality as Bhima, who has now appeared as this Madhvacharya. He himself signs. Can you imagine? Bold, isn't it? Bold personality. So there's Madhvacharya, Vayu. So, Bhima was not an ordinary person. He is Mukhya Prana. He is the best amongst devotees. Certain facts about Bhima. We are actually followers of Bhima. If you think we are Madhva, Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya in that sense. And Bhima, if you read the entire Mahabharata, you do find Arjuna questioning Krishna. You find even Yudhishthir questioning Krishna. Even Srimad Bhagavatam first canto, you have Yudhishthir querying, Krishna, what, you know, just for my own pleasure, I have killed so many soldiers in Kurukshetra. Did I do the right thing? Even though Krishna had asked him to do it, he is querying, he is confused. Arjuna, we know, on the battlefield is confused. There is one personality who is never confused in the entire Mahabharata, that is Bhima. He's never confused. Krishna says, fight. He says, yes, I'm ready. How many Akshauni senas were there, do you know? How many?
7 and 11.
Who said that? Yes, perfect. Correct answer. Whose were 7? Whose were 11? Kauravas had 11 Akshauni senas and Pandavas had 7. Do you know how many warriors were needed to finish? So 11, right? They had 11 Akshauni senas, the Kauravas. How many warriors were needed to finish more than half? What is more than half of 11? 6, right? So more than half. So you can imagine half of the army is fighting with the other half. And 6 Akshauni senas were killed by how many warriors?
One
warrior, Bhima. He killed 6 Akshauni senas. It is also mentioned that the way he killed 6 Akshauni senas, on day 1, when everyone blew their conch shell, the last person to blow the conch shell was Bhima. And his conch shell was known as Poundra. Poundra literally means fearsome. So he blows his conch shell. His conch shell is the size of 11 elephants. That's the size of a conch shell. He blows that conch shell. And after blowing the conch shell, one Akshauni sena, that is about 500,000 people with their elephants and horses, they all have a heart attack and they die. So he began with just blowing its conch shell and they were finished. This is how he was. Also, do you know who killed the Kauravas? Who killed the Kauravas? Now you know I'm talking about Bhima. So, but every single Kaurava, including Duryodhana, was killed by Bhima. And Krishna told Yudhishthir, amongst you there is only one who can kill the Kauravas, because he is the one who never challenges me. And that is Bhima. So Bhima killed every single Kaurava. In fact, when he killed Dushasana, Madhvacharya has written Mahabharat Tatparya Nirnaya, another book, in which he says that after killing Dushasana, the brother of Duryodhan, Mukhya Prana or Bhima was so angered because Dushasana was the one who told Draupadi, oh, you are now our property. Come and sit on my lap. He told Draupadi. So Bhima said, oh, this Dushasana, because he carried that anger in his heart, after killing Dushasana, you know, like, you have a carrot you remove from the ground and then the top bit of the carrot we don't eat. The cows can eat, but we don't eat. So we just break it, right? The top. So similarly, he took Dushasan, he broke that head off the top. He took the body of Dushasan. In his palms, he took his blood. And he said the stuti, Manyu stuti, which is in Rig Veda. Again, 10th mandala, I think, chapter 84, 85, something like that. Manyu stuti. Manyu means anger. Anger stuti, which is written in Rig Veda for Lord Narsingha. And with anger, with blood, he offered the blood to Lord Narsingha and he remembered Lord Narsingha. This is mentioned. So this is Bhima. Also, right from birth. So, you know, when you have children, sometimes you can't look after all of them. Kunti Maharani was alone. She had 5 to look after. 2 of Madri and 3 of her own. So, When Bhima once wanted to sit on the lap of Kunti Maharani, he was only 1.5 year old or 2 year old. He sat on the lap of Kunti Maharani, and for some reason, Kunti Maharani was feeling, well, you have to get off, Bhima. But Bhima wanted to be with his mother. So she said, okay, now you please get off, and just gently nudged him. And Bhima fell. And they were on top of a mountain, which is called as Shringa Mountain. Shringa means a pointed mountain. They were there on the top of the mountain. And when Bhima fell, he was upset, and he fell with such strength that the mountain broke into 100 peaks. So it is known as Shatashringa Mountain, 100-peak mountain. It is even there today, 100 peaks. This is his glory. Very powerful personality. And someone who... So in Brahma Vaivarta Purana, and I will finish with this. In Brahma Vaivarta Purana, there is a mention that the same Bhima, he wants to please Krishna always. So he once approaches Vyasadeva and he says, I have only one question. How do I please Krishna? And what austerities do I perform to, you know, please Krishna? So Brahma gives the whole episode of how Ekadashi appeared. Does anyone know how Ekadashi appeared? So once it is said that Lord Narayan, he was, you know, like recently it was in the news that this prince, who is the son of Prince Charles, the elder son? Huh? William. So this Prince William, he was, you know, outside of these supermarkets, they sell this Big Issue magazine. Those who are homeless, they sell that magazine and make a living. So this Prince William, he disguised as a Big Issue seller, and he was selling in Westminster just last week. And a few people spotted him. So there was something in the news like that. So similarly, Narayan, he disguised as an ordinary person, and he entered Yamlok once to check out how Yamlok is functioning. Sometimes, you know, rulers do that. So he went and he saw that everyone was miserable. So much misery, so much pain. Everyone was crying and howling. And Narayan was feeling very, very aggrieved by that. So he said that, I want to see Yamraj. So the Yamaduta said, hey, you stand there. When your turn comes, you will see Yamraj. Nobody can demand seeing Yamraj. Where you came from? Who brought you? Where's your escort? Because everyone is escorted with two Yamadutas. He said, where are your escorts gone? Have they gone for a drink or to take rest or what? You know? So this Lord Narayan said, no, I have to see Yamraj. Tell him that Narayan is here. Lord Narayan is here. He says, Lakshmipati Narayan. This husband of Lakshmi Narayan is here. So the Yamaduta say, whoever that is, okay, I will go and tell. So they tell Yamraj, and Ramiraj does not come. So Narayan feels very, very, you know, it's strange. So he goes and he sees Yamraj is so busy. And Yamraj says, my dear Lord, you have given me the instruction. To follow your instruction is more important than having your audience. And hence, I am, you know, like when some great personality comes, when a guru visits or someone visits, we want to be like bumblebees. We want to just surround that person and make ourselves known. Yeah, just hang around. What's more important is to follow the instruction. Much more than hanging around. So Yamraj says, I'm following your instruction, my dear Lord, please forgive me. I don't have time to even look at you. Although you're right here. So Narayan says, okay, I will ease your pain. I will create this special day called Ekadashi. On that day, whoever fasts will not have to see your face. They will have a direct bypass route to the higher planets in the material world or to Vaikuntha, depending on whether they are devotee or not. If they are a non-devotee doing Ekadashi, as a non-Vaishnava, doing Ekadashi, they will go to higher planets. If they are a Vaishnava doing Ekadashi, they just go to Vaikuntha, bypass you completely. So then Yamaraj says, thank you, my lord. So this Vyasadeva tells Bhim, that Bhim, that is why Ekadashi is so important. You know, Mahaprabhu told his mother, Sachi Mata, you are not my mother. You are not a devotee. You are a nobody because you don't follow Ekadashi. Mother Sachi, she started following Ekadashi after that episode. So dear is Ekadashi. So actually Ekadashi is known as Hari Vasaraha. Vasaraha means day. Hari means the day of Hari. Because this is the day when Lord Hari is super pleased. So when Bhima heard all this, he said, well, the problem is, I am Mukhya Prana. And there are five parts of Mukhya Prana. One part is Samana Vayu. Samana Vayu means the digestion, fire of digestion. So I cannot, I'm talking about that today, but I cannot live without eating. So what do you do? So I have a question for you. If I want to check your strength, how strong you are, I'll give you one small book, one medium-sized book, one big book, and then one mega encyclopedic book. And I tell you, lift with your left arm, lift, to check which how strong you are, okay? What is the best way for me to do? If you are really confident that you can actually do the best of the best, then you will just lift the encyclopedia directly, right? Do you then have to lift all the other small books to prove your strength? Suppose you say, I tell you, I can lift this Bhagavatam. Do I have to lift the paper also and say, oh, I can lift the paper also? You don't have to. When you do the big thing, then you don't need to do the small thing. So Bhima argues this with Vyasadeva. He says, Vyasadeva, you are telling me to do 25 Ekadashis. And that too you are saying you eat only fruits and vegetables. Or better, not eat anything. I can't do this. It's against my nature. So Vyasadeva says, no, well, it has to be done. Then Bhima argues like this. He says, if I prove that I can do the most difficult, then automatically I should be given the benefit for doing the easy ones. So Vedvyas says, yes, that is true. So then Vedvyas thinks, what is the most difficult? So amongst all the months in India, in the equatorial climate, the month of Grishma, there are six Rutus, six seasons in India. The summer season is the most difficult to bear in India. And in the summer season, the month of Jyeshta, which is this month, is most difficult. In fact, if you look at the historical records of India, the highest temperature recorded in India ever has always been in the month of Jyeshta. The Vedic month of Jyeshta, or in the English month of May, June. End of May, middle of May, end of May to first week in June. First, second week in June. So that's the period which is the hottest. So Vyasadeva said, with your logic, if you can do Nirjala Ekadashi on this particular Ekadashi in Jyeshta, which comes in the Shukla Paksha, because in Krishna Paksha it is easier. So Shukla Paksha Ekadashi in the month of Jyeshta, if you can do Nirjala on that day, then you get benefit of all the Ekadashis. And Bhishma says, yes. Anyway, I like to do big things. So he says, yes, I will do it. But I want another boon. That not only me, anyone in the three worlds who does fast on this Ekadashi should become dear to Lord Hari. And Vyasadeva says, yes, that is the boon. So anyone who does Nirjala. Now there are only two options in that. I mean, two vikalpas, two optionalities in that. On this Ekadashi, you can have one mustard seed drop of Achmana, if you are doing worship, that is allowed. But more than one mustard seed, then Skanda Puran says it is like drinking wine. Something like that. So they have these kind of extreme. But the idea is you avoid it, but if you have to just take very little, that's the idea. And the other thing is you can take Charanamrit, but not like a full jar of Charanamrit. But you have to take Charanamrit, which can fit, Skanda Puran says, in your palm in the shape of a cow's ear. So that's how you take Charanamrit, in this shape, because the Ashastra says it's like in the shape of a cow's ear. The cow's ear is like this. You can go and visit the Goshala and see. They have ears like this. So this is how much Charanamrit you should take. That's maximum you can take. Acceptable it is. Shastra accepts that. And then he gave the details of how the fast is to be done until the following morning sunrise, from the sunrise on Ekadashi. The previous night has to be a Jagran all night. The night of Ekadashi has to be all night Jagran and just chanting the names of Hari and hearing the Katha of the Lord. No breakfast prasadam. So this is what is discussed. And Bhima does that. And he really becomes dear to Lord Hari. So, special personality amongst all the Lokpalas. Very relevant verse for today. I was meditating on it last night. And this morning it came that actually amongst the Lokpalas, Vayu is the most important. And today is the day of Vayu Bhima. And because of him, we... And even Duryodhan, if you read Bhagavad Gita, Duryodhan does not mention, he is not fearful of anyone else. He says, Atrashura Maheshvasa. Here many, many great personalities have gathered. Bhima Arjuna Samayudhi. Like Bhima and Arjuna. He considers Arjuna always second. Bhima he is really scared of. And even other words, like chapter 1, verse 10, he says, Paryaptam Tvadam Etesham. The Pandava's army, Etesham, Chamu Paryaptam, is limited. Because Balam Bhima Abhirakshitam. Because their strength is mainly in Bhima. Bhima is powerful. And of course, Bhima Karma Vrukodaraha, Bhagavad Gita mentions how he is Vrukodara. He is a voracious eater and a voracious fighter. So the idea is this. If we can give up something for the pleasure of the Lord, let us give up that which is most difficult to give up. Like in the case of Bhima, it is his eating. Something that is nearly impossible for him. When we make an offering to the Lord, the best offering to the Lord is that. Sometimes people say, well, the best offering to the Lord is one that is given from the heart. Of course, absolutely. But from the heart, everything should be given from the heart. But that offering, that is the most difficult for us to give. So today is also a day for forming new habits. Today is also the day for praying for all those people in our life who needs to be connected to the Lord. These are the three blessings. One who follows Nirjala Ekadashi becomes dear to Lord Hari, like Bhima did. Second thing, you remember? What are the three things? I just mentioned, huh? Yes. Today is the day when you pray to connect your near and dear ones to the Lord. The Lord has given this special blessing that today if you pray, then they will be connected. Even it could be our children, family members, friends, relatives who are maybe not rightly situated. We want to connect them deeper. Today is the day. And third, today is the day to form new habits. And actually there is science behind it. The mind today is the most out of control in one sense. But if you have the willpower, today is the day the mind is completely subdued. Yeah, you can keep saying drink, have gulab jamun, have rasgulla. Well, I think of that all the time. But today I will not. Thank you, mind. I will not. So today the mind, whatever you tell him, he's your servant today. Today he's fully subdued. So it's a day for forming good habits. These three blessings are given on this day. So let's pray to Bhima and to the Lord to give us the strength to go deeper into our devotional commitments. Okay, thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions, comments or corrections? Quick ones. Yes. Oh, nice question.
So, yeah, I'll repeat it. My question is, if it's true that you only get the results of an Ekadashi if you take the Sankalpa, you go in front of the Lord and you take a vow to actually fast.
Yes. It is mentioned in many, many places that not just Ekadashi, but for anything that we do, if it is done as a Sankalpa, only then it becomes fructified. Even if you go give a donation, for example. And that is why previously they would put a drop of water in the hand and say, Om Tat Sat. And it becomes Sankalpa and then the donation actually counts. Otherwise it's not a donation. This is the technicality that Shukracharya uses to tell Bali Maharaj, this little Brahmana boy, this Vatu means little boy, he came and asked you for 3 steps of land, and you being a graceful, you know, large-hearted king, you gave him the land for 3 steps, and look, I told you he was Vishnu, and look, he's claimed everything, but not much is lost. You know why? Because when you gave him the land, you forgot to do the Sankalpa. You forgot to put the drop of water in your hand and say, Om, I will give you the land. Because you've forgotten to do the Sankalpa, you can claim it back. You still have a chance. Shukracharya actually says, Bhagavatam says, he tells Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj says, go away. I have given it to the Lord. What is Lord's? What can I actually give him? There is a beautiful pastime. Actually, after giving 2 steps, the third, Bali Maharaj says, put that step, my Lord, 3rd step on my head. And Bali Maharaj's wife starts laughing hysterically. Everyone is wondering, what's going on with this lady? So the ladies, sometimes they can laugh in occasions we don't understand. So he's laughing hysterically. And then she says, pointing to her husband, just see, look at this idiot. He's thinking this is my head. Even while offering his head, his minus is not going. He says, my Lord, please, 3rd step, put it on my head. His wife, I think her name was Vindhyavali. Yeah, she laughs hysterically. And then she says to, Lord Brahma says, everything is okay, what's wrong? She says, no, just see, look at this idiot, Bali, my husband. He still thinks that he possesses his head. What he possesses nothing. Everything is Hari's. He is giving to Hari what is not his anyway. So why is he so proud? So this, anyway, these are some subtleties. Point is this, Om and Sankalpa. Now we don't do this amongst devotee community. We don't go around saying Om and doing Sankalpa. However, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says this. So listen carefully. He says that as Vaishnavas, so there are different types of sankalpas. Some sankalpas are for a purpose. Like you give a donation, it's for a sankalpa for a purpose. But then there are certain sankalpas which are nitya sankalpa. Nitya sankalpa means, for my duration of my life, I take this sankalpa. Sankalpa in simple words means a self-committed, conscious vow. 4 words. Meditate on it. Very important. A self, not somebody is telling you, hey, Prabhu, Lalit Prabhu, you have to do Ekadashi. Why Lalit Prabhu should do Ekadashi? So he needs to self committed. It has to be committed. And then? Committed in what ways? Conscious. Yeah. And it's a vow. Means it cannot, you cannot not follow it. So that is Sankalpa. And for devotees, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, our, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, our Nitya Sankalpa, the day you took initiation, with your initiation vow, all these things were there. It was part of your initiation vow, etc. Not everything is mentioned. And he gives, there is another Acharya now, it's not coming to my mind. He gives the example that if you invite somebody from a family, you just invite the head of the family, isn't it? The most important person. You say, Mr. Agarwal. So if I want to invite Sulabh Agarwal, I say, Mr. Agarwal and family. Then I don't say, oh, Sulabh and Aparna and Vrinda and Vanya and Keshav and. No, I don't do that. I just say, Agarwal family. Similarly, when we take the vow in front of the deities, in front of Agni, in front of the Vaishnavas, in front of our Guru, these four personalities, we only speak the mukhya, the most important part. Actually, previously, in Harinam Diksha and Siddhant Saraswati Thakur's time, or even before that, the only vow that was taken was, I will chant 100,000 names of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, total 100,000 names I will chant every day, 64 rounds I will chant every day. That's the only vow. The four regulative principles Prabhupada added, because he said, this is important, otherwise you will never progress. Like Siddhant Saraswati Thakur says, you will have the anchor and you are rowing your boat. So there Prabhupada added these four. But this includes the Nitya Sankalpa of Ekadashi. So for us, it's Nitya Sankalpa. So we don't need to every Ekadashi go and tell the Lord, I'm going to do Sankalpa. If this is the understanding, then we don't need to do that. Any other one more question, comment, corrections, anything? Anyone? Okay. Yes, Prabhu. I'll come to you, Mataji. Make it quick.
Prabhu, thank you. So by taking a little water in the evening,
yeah,
do you consider breaking the fast by taking a little water?
See, there is Sankalpa and there is Anukalpa. Two aspects are there in any Ekadashi fasting. Sankalpa gives the full result. Anukalpa gives most of the result, but not the full result. So Anukalpa means you follow with certain allowances. And the allowances, you can have water. If you can't have, you can't just remain with having some water. You can have milk. Also, there are two exceptions. No. Four exceptions, according to Hari Bhakti Vilas, for this, not just this Ekadashi, but every Ekadashi. Children under 8 years old, they are exempted from Ekadashi. Women who are pregnant and unwell, so it has to be two conditions, yeah? Not pregnant and healthy and enjoying, but pregnant and unwell, they can break the fast. Those who are having, you know, a lifestyle disease or some disease that needs medicine regularly, blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, whatever. So disease, you can take your medicine. You're not breaking the fast. And those who are above 80 years old, 80. So these are the cutoff, 8 and 80. Over 80 years old, you don't need to follow Ekadashi. You will not get the sin of not following Ekadashi, or you will not be considered to be. These four, pregnant women who are unwell, in brackets, unwell, those who are under 8, those who are over 80, and those who take medicine. Others should do Ekadashi. And then within Ekadashi, there is Anukalpa and Sankalpa. Anukalpa means lowest is you are eating nice Ekadashi pizza, and like, you know, when we go to Vrindavan, Ekadashi is like one of the days you look forward to. You get Ekadashi in. Have you been to MVT ever? Oh, nice. MVT restaurant is nice. You get pasta, pizza, everything. But it's Ekadashi, suitable. So that is the lowest of it. The higher is, I will only have certain vegetables boiled, higher is only fruits, higher is only milk, higher is only water. So like that. And the result is, ye yatha mam prapadyante tams tathaiva bhajamyam. To the degree we surrender, to that degree the Lord reciprocates. So, one final question, no more questions. Yes, Mataji, go ahead.
Appreciate the breadth and the depth with which you have spoken. I have a question about this Charanamritam that you mentioned. I have only read that 3 drops of Charanamritam are acceptable. But you mentioned calf's ear or something like that. Calf's
ear. Oh, no, that's just how it is taken like that. That's the shape of the palm to accept Charanamrita.
So yeah. Where is this reference? Because
for the shape of the palm, Skanda Purana.
Achha, okay.
Yeah, in Ekadashi Mahatmya, it's mentioned. What else is the question?
No, I was just wondering because when you say that shape, it's significantly more than 3 drops of Charanamritam.
The 3 drops of Charanamrita, that reference is there in Padma Purana and Vishnu Purana of the 3 drops signifying you can rise above the 3 worlds. Mm-hmm. That is how powerful Charanamrita is. Mm-hmm. But personally, even in Hari Bhakti Vilas, Sanatana Goswami doesn't say you should only restrict yourself to 3 drops. Mm-hmm. It's not, it could be minimum, but it's not a restrictive order, you know. Mm-hmm. Like homeopathic medicine. Mm-hmm. They tell you take 5 little pills. A person like me who likes sweets, I take 50 at a time. So it's okay. But just because it's nice, you know, sugary little balls. Mm-hmm. But Charanamrita, yeah, I mean, you can have a jar full if that is your capacity. Every time they have Abhishek in the temple, like Narasimha Chaturdashi,
I'm speaking specifically on this Ekadashi.
Oh, Ekadashi, not 3 drops, no. Ekadashi, you are just taking Charanamrita, just what fills here, and drinking once, that's all that is mentioned. Otherwise, 3 drops are mentioned. That's why in traditional temples, if you go to Vrindavan or some places in India, you'll see devotees, they come up and even our ISKCON devotees, they come up and in the queue is much slower. In our temple, the queue is quite quick. You take some and just sip and move on. But in some temples in India, you'll see some traditional minded people. They will come, they'll take 1 drop, they'll stand there. Give another, okay, stand there. 3rd drop, then they'll go. They do that. So Prabhupada didn't go into all these things. See, the superior principle of always remembering Hari surpasses everything. There is, Prabhupada even said, that eat to your belly's fill, you know, on Ekadashi. Eat! But go out for preaching. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there is no one dear to me than one who transmits my message. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur served fish with his own hands. He was preaching in Bangladesh and he was going around, Parivraja Kachari, he was going around. And there was a village where they advertised Bhagwat Saptaha, Bhagwata discourses. And nobody turned up. So Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, what happened? So they said, oh, they are not coming because they are all fishermen. And they go out to the sea to fish. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, okay, no problem. You announce that tomorrow whoever attends the full Bhagavad discourse will be served fish and rice. And the devotees were surprised, what? And they said, no, I will personally serve each one who comes. I'll personally serve them fish and rice. And he did. And then he said, I completely take the sin of serving them fish and rice and let me go to hell if I can transform their hearts and make them into Vaishnavas. And this is the personality. So our superior principles, chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, 5 principles Mahaprabhu gave, right? What are the 5? If we do these 5, the other things will, And that five principle does not have Ekadashi, for example, for a good reason. And this is the reason. But Ekadashi, when an Acharya's order is there, you could even forget Ekadashi. But what are the five principles? Chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. No option there. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam. No option there. Serving Vaishnavas. No option there. Visiting the Dham or residing in the Dham. Serving the Dham and the Dham Vasis. No option there. And finally, which one did I forget? Deity worship. No option. These five are mukhya. Otherwise there are 64. If you read Padma Puran and collect all of them, which I did just for adventure, there is over 300 of them. So how you will do? It says, you know, when you, if you go in all these details, it says, if you want to evacuate, if you want to, you know, empty your belly in the toilet, you should not face the east while evacuating. So who is going to, how we can do that? You have to take achman after drinking water. Prabhupada said this, that if I give you all the rules, you will run away. So, we will do whatever is necessary, how much is necessary. Also, one more thing, all these things we learn from these discourses and reading these books, who are they for? Who are they for? They are not for Smarahari. I don't have to look at Smarahari and say, hey, Smarahari, why do you not fast on Ekadashi or why are you not having Nirjala? My understanding, my knowledge, my meditation is not to correct Smarahari. It is for my own good. And this is the heart of Krishna consciousness. It is first and foremost to apply to ourselves. And to never apply it, unless you are in a position of authority, to never apply it to another person. So Smarahari, he can be, you know, eating a pizza, I don't know. Fine, he's still a wonderful devotee. I'll still pay my obeisances to him, dance with him. So, like that. So, thank you very much. Sorry, I elaborated too much and you were very patient. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, samaveda bhaktavrinda ki jai, gaur premanandi, hari hari bol.